I believe what you're saying is, in order for us to stop suffering planetary-wise, we all have to realize that we are all one. That's the way out of suffering, right?
That's it.
I'm not sure in which density this happens, but on one of the densities, you decide whether you're going to be positive or negative.
Mm-hmm. What third density, this one.
Oh, that decision is made in third density.
In this lifetime, we're all living. In fact, nobody gets out of here, Jeff. Nobody can graduate to the next level of consciousness until you choose a polarity. That's like the prerequisite for graduation, is that the universe will keep spitting you back into a third density lifetime until you choose which polarity you really want. And here's what's really interesting. Ra says that the graduation point that the Logos is looking for is for you to reach at least 51% or greater service to others, positive polarization. But for the negative, you have to reach a grade of 95% or greater negative polarization before you can actually graduate to a fourth density negative planet. So we have this massive difference, right? Of basically you have to become only 5% service to others to become negative, but you only need to be 51% service to others to become positive. And that's because the positive polarity is the polarity of harmony and order and unity. So it has its own kind of momentum and gravity, and you only need to choose it by 1% to be eligible for a fourth density lifetime. But the negative is the path of disorder and disconnection and chaos and entropy. And so it's much harder to maintain that vibration because it wants to unravel so naturally. Like at the core, we are love, you know, we are oneness. So to deny oneness is such an incredibly difficult thing for consciousness to do, but it can do it. But that's why Ra says about 10% or less of all beings in the universe ever become negatively polarized, and 90% or more end up graduating to the positive.
Some of my near-death experiencers will end up in a place that's hell-like. Right. And I don't know if that's just a hell-like place still stuck here in the third density. But what intrigues me is, what would a fourth density negative planet be like? Has he give you an example of that, or she?
It's an interesting question. I don't believe that Ra gives any explicit explanations of that, but it would basically look a lot like, you know, imagine North Korea, this just like absolute communist dystopian nightmare where it's all a top-down order structure. That would be what a fourth density planet would be like, but probably even amplified quite a bit more than North Korea. And so every being on that planet would understand the game that's being played and understand, hey, we live in a giant pyramid, and if you want to have a better existence here, you have to ascend up the pyramid. So you have to become more selfish, more powerful. You have to take power over others. You know, on our planet, the negative polarity functions through money. Money is like the currency of power, in that the more money a person collects, the more ability they have to take power over, right? I can buy out entire politicians to make my laws as I want them. Think about George Soros or something. I can buy out entire institutions, medical systems, educational systems. Think about Rockefeller, right? This is what these beings do, is that the more power over you take, the greater negative polarity you generate. And so the more powerful you become in the negative. So that's what a negatively polarized fourth density planet would be, is like a, you know, Star Wars level combination of communism and that top-down hierarchy structure, where the only difference would be that, like, when you look at China or North Korea, the people who are being so incredibly abused and dominated by their governments, they act like, hey, this isn't fair, as if they think the government should treat them well. Something has gone wrong. We need to fix the government. That disillusionment wouldn't be there on a fourth density planet. They would absolutely know, we live on a planet of power, and if you want to survive here, you got to take power. Otherwise, you're going to be taken over by others. And so it's this constant, like King of the Hill battle of who can get to the top. And the closer to the top you get, the more ugly it gets. The more ugly the fight gets, right?
So this is all happening in fourth density. If we move up to fifth density, does the polarity of negative and positive still exist? Or even if you go higher, sixth and seventh, at some point, do they all come back as one?
Mm-hmm. Excellent question. So because the negative polarity is the path of that which is not separation, separation doesn't exist in our universe. It's a projection of the mind only. If you look at the actual universe around us, everything exists in relationship. Everything exists in cooperation and interconnectivity. We live in a connected universe. Literally nothing can exist in a vacuum. Even a star floating in what we think is a vacuum of space. We actually know that space isn't empty, but it's actually full of energy. And even the star is in relationship to the space around it, right? Without space, you couldn't have a star either. So we cannot escape oneness in our universe. It is the fundamental truth. So that's why the negative polarity can only progress so far until they basically bump into a kind of metaphysical wall and they can't polarize any more negative. And so like, think about a shadow being cast, like the sun is setting and the shadow gets cast really long. A shadow can be cast for a very long distance, but eventually it's going to run out of room. It can't go stretch any farther. That's what the negative polarity is like. And so Ross says this juncture happens at the beginning of sixth density, where basically at the beginning of sixth density is the density of unity. On the positive, it's perfect balance between love and wisdom, or heart and throat chakra. You need to have a perfect balance of those two qualities to graduate to sixth density, which is not as easy as it sounds. And so for the negative path, when they reach sixth density, they've shut off the heart chakra, right? They've muted the green ray to remain in this illusion of separation. And so what are they gonna balance the blue ray with? There's no green ray to balance it with. So they've already experienced every kind of power over, every kind of domination and control that exists in possibility. They've done it all. So they can't polarize more negatively by enslaving more planets and stuff. They've already done all that. So it's like, how do they progress? And interestingly, what the positively polarized soul does is that they likewise have already maxed out every form of service to others that exists in the universe. They've already helped entire planetary civilizations evolve. They've done it all. So how do they keep polarizing into the seventh density? Well, they do this really amazing thing where the soul basically turns back in time and begins to serve as a guide to all of its past incarnations, thousands and thousands and thousands of lifetimes, bringing each of their lifetimes the experiences needed for evolution and learning and all of that, and trying to maintain that balance of helping and teaching without infringing on free will and things like that. And so that's what we call the higher self. Your higher self is literally your future sixth density self that has gone through 4, 5 and beginning of 6. And by serving all your past lifetimes and kind of witnessing all your past lives from the other side of the fence, you know, because you've already done it from this side of the fence as the individual, but now you're looking from a more cosmic lens, taking in a greater scope of the picture. That's how you continue to polarize into the seventh density. But here's what's amazing about the negative polarity is that the negative polarity can't do that, because the negative polarity at sixth density is so incredibly separate from everything that they can't even serve their own past lifetimes without polarizing to the positive, because they're trying to help what is seen as a different entity. This was, you know, 5,000 lifetimes ago. It's like a different entity from me, and I have to help it? Well, the negative polarity doesn't help anybody. That's the opposite of what they seek to do. So if they did that, they would literally polarize to the positive and depolarize themselves. So the negative sixth density soul is like, shit, what do I do? Like, I can't progress any farther. And eventually, Ross says, after they probably fight and wrestle with a million different ways of trying to polarize negatively, they eventually will have to concede and reverse their polarity to the positive to continue evolving. So negative and positive both teach the creator, help the creator experience itself. But the difference is the negative can only go so far, again, because the actual truth of the universe is oneness.
Are ETs in the fourth density, both negative and positive, trying to influence us here in the third density to join their ranks?
You better believe it. You better believe it. Do you want me to elaborate on that?
Of course.
So it's true that, you know, 90% or more of ETs in the universe are going to be positively polarized, which for like the average person who thinks about ETs and UFOs and all this stuff, takes a little bit of time to really swallow this idea that what these beings are, as we would consider them, are enlightened beings from other planets. Meaning they're at least in the fourth density. Some of them may be, you know, the light beings are definitely fifth or sixth density, but the ones that are in still like physical looking bodies, that's the fourth density, which is gradually becoming more and more of a light body. But so in the fourth density, the way you polarize to the fifth density is by being of service to others. So positively polarized beings essentially travel the universe looking for third density planets that are struggling that they can help in their growth and their ascension process. But the most important law of a positively polarized being is do no harm. The first law of love is love does no harm. So in their attempts to serve, fourth density beings are very aware of not infringing on free will. And so that answers the Fermi paradox question of, if there's supposed to be so much life in the universe, why don't we see aliens buzzing around and landing here and talking to us? You know, there should be as many alien races as grains of sand on the sea. And there are, but those aliens are going to be either positively polarized or negatively polarized. And so based on which polarity they are, they're going to have a very different way of interacting with us. So on the positive end, positively polarized ETs really want to wait until we acknowledge them and of our own free will say, hey, we know you're here. We want to communicate with you. We're open to being helped by you. Let's have a relationship. And then they won't see it as infringement to do so. But, you know, at this point in our evolution, there's still a lot of religion on this planet. There's billions of people, Christians, Muslims, Jews, who would have their entire frame of reference disoriented about God and reality if they knew that there are infinite other beings from other worlds. It would do a lot of psychological damage to our population if we just had open contact with ETs. So I think what we're in right now, Jeff, I call it the acclimation phase, where think about the way that scientists observe wildlife, let's say in Africa. When researchers are trying to study, you know, a herd of lions or zebras or something, we don't go sprinting into the herd with cameras, snapping pictures and trying to touch the zebras and stuff, right? We would scare them, they'd run off. We observe from a very far away position and we want to observe them in their natural habitat. So we actually learn, how does this species actually function so we can know how to actually help them? And we don't want to scare them or traumatize them, so we keep a safe distance. But some scientists will also let the animals see them, observing them, so that they can observe the animal's reaction to them. And it's kind of this second density energetic message of, hey, I'm not a threat to you because I'm keeping a safe distance. And, you know, if I wanted to hunt you, I'd be doing that. So we're letting them be acclimated to our presence as scientists so that they'll let us hang out with them and study them and they'll not run away every time they see us. So that's what a fourth density extraterrestrial is trying to do to a third density human. Is, hey, let's hover around in their atmosphere. Let's make it undeniable that we're from another world and that we have technology that's far advanced from theirs. But let's make it clear that we're not here with ill intentions. Because, I mean, let's all be honest, right? If these ETs had any ill intentions, we'd be slaves on another planet 100 years ago. Like, they could take us over like that. They could neutralize every weapon on our planet. They could abduct us into their craft and off we go. They would have no reason to wait for hundreds of years before they take us over. So they're clearly trying to establish a kind of safety and relationship with us that will hopefully allow us to say, all right, guys, you've been here long enough. Let's talk. Let's hang out. We're not afraid of you anymore. And then they can actually be of service to us. That's why positive ETs don't come land on the White House and start talking to us. But why don't negative ETs do that? Well, the negative ET also has a very similar reason why they can't just openly contact us, and why they work more in the psychological domain through channeling and things like that. They want to influence the psyche of humans to become more negative, because they know that the vast majority of beings on this planet are going to be service to others, polarized, and are heading that direction. And so a negative being, as I mentioned earlier, it's a lot harder to polarize to the negative. You have to really earn your polarization by taking power over others. And so negatively polarized beings are much more stingy and greedy with their polarity than a positive being would be, meaning they're not willing to lose any of it. They're not going to take any big risks because it's so hard to get negative polarity. So if a negative ET race were to land on the front house lawn of the White House and try to talk to us and try to, probably what they would do would be to say, hey, look at our amazing technology and the powers we have. If you serve us, we'll teach you these powers. Right? That's classic negative enslavement. Well, there'd be a humongous faction of this planet, billions of people, myself included, who would say, no, 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 not interested in your slavery. No, thank you. You can go back to where you came from. And we would highly resist their attempt at control. And that's one of the most depolarizing things for a negative being, is when the being I'm trying to enslave turns against me and fights and resists my attempt. It's highly disempowering to the being who's trying to take over. And that's why you always see negative enslavement is always psychological. It's always, hey, I have powers and abilities I can give to you if you serve me. This is what every villain, right, in every superhero movie does. They promise the superhero power and things like that if they'll join them. And so the hero has that moment where they have to face their ego and say, do I want to get all this power in exchange for becoming evil? And the hero inevitably says, no, I'm going to overcome you. So that's what would happen on this planet if negative ETs landed. They would risk losing a tremendous amount of polarity if everyone on the planet didn't go along with their enslavement. And of course, no, that wouldn't happen, right? So they know they're not going to come openly either. They're going to work in the background. And what they're going to do is they're going to influence the people in power on our planet to have more power so that they can make this planet more negative. So I do personally think that, you know, the upper levels of Freemasons and the power structures on this planet of the elites who own 99% of the wealth, I think that these beings do work directly with negative ETs, who probably teach them different enslavement plans and options, like we saw with the plandemic. Like, they're probably getting a lot of their strategies from higher up because they're teaming up. Like, this is one of the ways a negative being can polarize, is if I'm a third density negative being and I want to polarize to the fourth density, for me to serve a fourth density master will polarize me. So whether you're doing the enslaving or submitting to the enslavement, you become more negative. And I think that's what beings on our planet are doing right now. So yes, there is interaction from the negative, but it's not the way we typically think that it would be, right?